University, the voice of Reichman University.
Sunny Side Up, where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly LaShock.
Hey, I'm Orly LaShock.
Hey, I'm Leora Baxt.
And here we have our awesome editor.
Hey.
Amy Hittery.
You're listening to Sunny Side Up on Audioversity. This is a mental health podcast where we talk about anything from childhood to parenting styles to coping mechanisms.
And everything in between.
We want to provide you with a new and fresh perspective and not just facts about mental health.
Let's talk about it. You feeling scrambled?
Oh, yes, I am. I have something I want to talk about.
What do you want to talk about?
So I feel like today's the day we talk about emotional intelligence on our friendships. Just in general, our friendships. So today we're going to dive into how emotional intelligence can transform our relationships, our friendships, and by making them stronger and more resilient.
Have you ever found yourself in a friendship that feels like you're constantly walking on eggshells?
100,000%. Like,
That's your trademark line.
Literally. I've been through many of those. I'm only 21, so is that concerning? I don't know.
No, I feel like it's just like getting older.
Yeah, I guess so.
Weeding out the bad ones, you know?
That's true.
Let's break it down. Like, first we need to understand emotional intelligence and what that means specifically in friendships. Because emotional intelligence is in all aspects of our lives.
Yeah.
Let's delve into friendships today.
So with understanding emotional intelligence and its relation to friendships, I think we need to define it, like you said. So emotional intelligence is the ability to understand and manage your own emotions and those of others. And I think it's like having a kind of superpower for friendships. Don't you agree?
I agree. I think it's like the...
No, I think without emotional intelligence, there's a huge gap between two people. And I think that that's what creates mature relationships. And people, unfortunately, not necessarily unfortunately, but like don't have like, what's the word? Chime in, Amy. What's the word I'm looking for?
Substance.
A lot of people don't have the ability
to... Ability.
Yeah.
Exactly. To maintain or even strengthen the emotional intelligence that's already inside of them. So we can give some examples, honestly, of our own experience and our relationships. So, for example, on more simple side of embracing personal emotional intelligence, for example, I'll ask if you're good and you'll answer, oh, I'm tired. And I'll be like, no, like there's way more to that story. There's way more to that. I'm tired. And my emotional intelligence is basically triggering me to say, like, you know, she's probably feeling more than tired. She's probably not so okay. And then maybe asking you again, and maybe that time you're like, yeah, no, you know, you're right. I'm not necessarily doing so great today. And thanks for asking again.
And I'm like, yeah, actually, I do want to talk about what's on my mind.
You just never know. And I feel like picking up on those cues in a room full of crowded people is a really important aspect to...
Yeah, 100%.
Being like, a good person.
Even we're so close, but even emotional intelligence goes as far as like people you're not so close with, people you've interacted with once, twice, or three times. You start to kind of even just see their behavior, and like the minute that they're someone who's like usually very bright and happy, the minute that they're like kind of shrugging down and like looking down, and they're on the side to a party or whatever, your emotional intelligence is telling you there's probably something wrong, probably something bothering that person. It's not only in the closest of close relationships.
Totally. I think it's taking yourself out of the equation of a relationship. Yeah. I think a lot of where it comes from is, okay, this person needs this right now, or this person, like, what are they, the focus on the other, you know?
100%.
Not necessarily like where I'm at. You're not like you focused or centered on like yourself in the relationship. And that's kind of where emotional intelligence comes in.
Yeah.
It's like,
No, I definitely agree with that. Again, like picking up on cues and just being aware is really important. And
100%. Before understanding how to properly understand your own emotional intelligence, in addition to your friends, it's really crucial to pick up on like signs that someone lacks emotional intelligence and what that means. Picking up on
sifting through before. It sounds so like materialistic or like fake in a sense, but like truthfully, your emotional intelligence is coming out by noticing where other people lack.
Totally.
You know?
So it's seeing like what you're working with in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Know? And I think that's so, it's like such a big misunderstanding in friendships, because it's like, oh my God, like we have the same shirt and we shop at the same places and we're going to be best friends.
Right.
And it's just so many more layers than that. And some people overlook it. And that's how they get into a friendship with the person for a year. And then, bam, it comes out. It's there. It's like the lack of emotional intelligence.
It's kind of like red flags.
Yeah, literally.
Red flags, green flags, whatever.
To name a few. So I think we should dive into kind of what areas we should look out for. For example, for the first one, misunderstanding advice as an attack.
Yeah.
So like
a friend who you're giving advice to and it's genuine and it's coming from your heart, but they kind of take it as a personal attack on their lives and they're like, why would you say that? And they kind of do that thing where they flip it around in a way.
Yeah.
And like project their feelings, or maybe you triggered something and then that's like, you don't have my best interests at heart when you really do. That's a sign of low emotional intelligence.
Yeah. I think I've been through a lot of those where it's like, no, I'm really just trying, like, I'm just trying to understand you here. And like, you're raising your voice, you're being more stern, you're trying to get your point across, you're trying to tell me that I'm attacking you, but again, you're also yelling about it. Like, that's right. Even another thing. It's like, keep calm, stay cool and collected, because I will respect you that much more.
Right.
Yeah, if it's a mature relationship, you should be able to have those cool, calm, collected conversations.
100%.
Totally. Yeah, just being open to, if you are good friends, or even just if anybody's coming to you with something they're feeling, like to be able to open your mind up a little bit, kind of shift gear into, okay, like this is someone in my life and they're coming to me for a reason with this, and like, okay, now how can we have a productive conversation?
Yeah.
You know, and like, how can I think now when I'm brought into this position of thinking about the other? How can we now focus on the other and not like automatically jump to like being defensive, right? Or like taking it as like something I'm doing wrong, or like, you know, just, yeah, again, being able to think about the other in the situation, I think is huge.
100%.
And even another thing with not lack of, but with emotional intelligence, you can be like, you can pick up on that, be like, that's, she's projecting, but it's also, and as psychology students here, it's like, she has her insecurities, or this person has their insecurities, and like, we're being empathetic of that, but are they
reciprocating?
Exactly.
Yeah. Another huge sign of someone who has low emotional intelligence is a clear lack of empathy.
Right, like we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've experienced this, not often, but like, getting excited about something, or on the flip side, being really emotional about something and really opening my heart, and all I get is like, aw, like that's a sad, oh cool, that's interesting, like, no, ask me follow-up questions, like
be as excited as me, be on my level,
be interested, because that makes me feel important, and that makes me feel important to you, because like, oh, she's like, she's really fascinated with my life and or with the struggles I'm going with, not fascinated with my struggles, but with my life, and I feel like I feel important to those people.
Yeah. But not only like it is a sign of emotional lack of emotional intelligence, but it's also kind of like a barrier in the friendship it creates, because you don't want to share like important things with this friend who's not giving you the right energy.
Yeah.
Totally.
Amy, have you had any experience with that? Like just such a bad like response. Like, why did I just tell you all those things then, you know?
Yeah, I think honestly, like through those kinds of conversations or relationships, I've really been able to say, like, work on my own emotional intelligence in the sense of like, okay, if this person isn't going to meet me there, you know, like where can I then say like, okay, I know
drawing
that they're
the line.
Not. Yeah, like draw the line and be like, I know now that they don't have the capacity necessarily to reach that. They don't necessarily. You know, like, and if they don't have that capacity, but I'm aware of that, right? Like broadening my emotional intelligence or expanding in that sense and being like, okay, now I can define this friendship for what it is, you know, yeah. Like not to expect more, which is sometimes really sad. But again, like you said, you're 21 and you've already had all these experiences, yeah. You know, like that happens with more and more like time and friendships, mm-hmm. And you know, and maturing and like
100%.
I kind of, yeah, it's kind of like everyone comes into your life and it could be for a chapter or whatever it is, that whole cliche thing. But it's true. Like even when a friendship ends, you can look back and be like, literally what you were just saying, but look back and be like, what can I learn from this person? What can I learn from this relationship? And how can I improve my emotional intelligence for the next person or for my other relationships?
Yeah. Also, it doesn't necessarily need to mean that a friendship ends because you don't reach the same level of emotional intelligence or have that capacity. 100%. You know, it
could more just boundaries mean are
that,
made.
Yeah. It could just mean that, like, you know what that friend is for you in that sense or what you do for them in that sense. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but having that understanding leads to then having the other relationships that really do reach that for you, you know, where you get what you deserve in that sense.
Different like, friends serve that capacity. Different purposes.
Exactly.
Kind of like the term sprinkle friends.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact that it can like hurt in the beginning sometimes, you know? Like
that's why I think we're going over these, because you guys got to be aware. You got to be aware.
You got to see the signs.
Definitely seeing the signs early
is
on
so helpful.
Is really helpful in terms of just maintaining a proper level of like whatever that relationship might be.
Sometimes it gets to a point where like you already know that like they don't match your level in terms of like emotional intelligence. And then you get to a point and then you're feeling bad because you're like, I can't be in a relationship with this person, like friendship with this person anymore. Yeah. And like you almost wish you would have caught these things earlier. And that's why we're here.
Yeah.
But
it's because it's the expectation.
Yeah. That it's totally.
Yeah.
Also thinking of yourself as this like, oh my God, I have so much, like I'm so emotionally intelligent. Like I just rock, like, you know, and like going into that can also be a negative.
Can also be a problem. Yeah.
Because like you're going in with such high expectations. They don't meet your expectations. And then you're like, well, what the fuck?
Like, yeah. You're like, is there something wrong with me? Like, what's going on?
So got to be careful there.
Yeah. Looking out for those things early on is very helpful.
Yeah.
The last kind of sign of low emotional intelligence we want to touch on is kind of focusing, like noticing that your conversations with a friend is so self-centered one way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like you're having a conversation with a very self-centered person.
Yeah, you're talking to a friend and you realize that this pattern of every time you're talking, they're just yapping and yapping and yapping about themselves. And like maybe towards the end, once in a while, they'll be like, but what about you? Or like, what's going on? And at that point, you're like, so drained from hearing about their shit and like giving them advice that most of the time they're probably not even going to take. And then you're like, I don't want to pour my heart and soul out to you anymore. Because a friendship is two-way street. It should be dialogue, bouncing off each other, not me just being like, okay, for sure.
It's like the same but the opposite of the first thing we said about like being what's it called, what did we say, like misunderstanding advice as an attack. It goes both ways, and it's like someone could be talking all about themselves and showing so much interest in themselves, and then the other thing we spoke about was like literally no interest in you when you're talking, and you're, you know, and it's just, again, like you said, Orly, like it's, you just don't want to be friends with them. It's like, why am I doing this?
You know, and I figured out that like, because a lot of my friendships are long distance because I moved to Israel, a lot of my friendships are on FaceTime. A lot of my conversations are on FaceTime. And that's something that can really come out when you're on a screen. And it's so interesting to see like how friendships evolved into that.
Yeah.
Right. I think when it comes to like paying attention about like to if the conversation is solely like on the, like if someone's only talking about themselves all the time and like you're never, they never ask after you or whatever, it could be that once in a while like that happens, you know, like someone's going through something and they need to just like vent and you're there for them. But it's important to pay attention to the, to what's majority of the time, right? To like, to the frequency of these of these interactions.
And it's not like you're keeping a tab, because that also sounds fake and materialistic, but it's like it is keeping ahead, like a head count almost, yeah. Like, all right, like, this is happening a little too often, and yeah, like, I don't think pattern? This is working for me, you
it's,
know?
Yeah, it's something that I thought about, so I was told this once that really stuck with me was, like, how you feel, like, think about after meeting up with someone, right, after, like, whatever it might be, like, after an interaction, leaving that and thinking, how did that make me feel right now?
Yeah.
You know, like, if you leave a coffee date with someone thinking, like, wow, that was great. Like, I really loved catching up with that person, or, like, yeah, being, you know, just, like, being there and spending that time. That's great. And then but it could also be like, but if you leave, then you thinking like, oh, I don't really know, like, how that made me feel. I don't know how I feel about that person right
That's
now.
That's also so important, then, asking yourself too.
Yeah, like, it's those, like, ambivalent times and mm-hmm. relationships that's when you should really be, like, a little bit more in tune to, like, what is this really, you know, like, what's really going on here?
Yeah, I think about that a lot, kind of like, did that energize me or did that drain me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you want to surround yourself with people that energize you and that you do the same for them.
Yeah. And I think by being able to pinpoint these dynamics and these red flags, like we said, in your friendships, I think you can really make your life and your interpersonal relationships more enjoyable. And it ultimately will lead you and the person you are, you know, in, like, a relationship with, friendship with, will lead you both to higher emotional intelligence and, like, all aspects of your life. So I think that's really important to stay open-minded and don't just, like, after this be like, all right, I can cut off all my friends because, like, they don't have this and they don't have that. It's just a part of emotional intelligence is also being able to look within yourself and be like, what we said before, we touched on this about boundaries. Make them boundaries. Make them boundaries.
Make them boundaries.
Make them boundaries, you know? But
also work on them together. Yeah. Work on them with that person. If it's someone you really care about, then it should be a conversation.
At least
it should
try.
Be effort on both ends.
Totally. At least understand you're lacking as well, you know?
Yeah.
100%. And that all, like,
nobody's perfect.
Hearing you worth it.
Again, sorry.
You'll get it right.
So we've gone over, like, what emotional intelligence is. We've talked about, you know, what you should look for, signs in terms of people
red
who
flags.
Lack it. And now I think we should talk about the benefits. The benefits of having it in your emotion, like,
having high levels.
In your relationships. In your friendships.
Emotional intelligence.
And I think, like, we know that it can give us deeper connections. It can. They're laughing at me.
I'm just laughing.
We're laughing with her.
It reduces your stress and it overall gives you a really healthy relationship. But we've all touched on this. It doesn't always start out that way.
It takes learning. Yeah. It takes learning. Every relationship is different.
You can have two people that are really high in their emotional intelligence form a connection. That's not to say that the relationship is going to be super healthy and flow perfectly off the bat. You know, friendships take really hard work and dedication, but I think they're really, I think they're, like, one of the most beautiful things in this life.
I think totally. I like this little life.
Yeah. It's every relationship is an opportunity as you get to know, obviously, like, you have to grow into your relationships, right? Like, getting to know each other, it's a great opportunity to see, like, to learn, like, they all pull out different aspects within you too, like, it's these different relationships and like the progression of them, right? Like, from the start, as you get to know each other, they'll all pull out different aspects within you, different aspects of your emotional intelligence that will then help you grow in that sense with that person, you know. Like, they'll all be different because every person is different and it's going to be catered to each friendship.
Yeah. It's really cool, honestly. Like, there's so much, like, so much more to learn. There's so much more room to grow. And if you really hone in on that, it could be really beautiful.
Totally.
Yeah. I think we can give a little personal example, honestly, about us, our friendship.
Yeah, we can. Kind of taking in, like, the lack of and also understanding the benefits and
how we create
literally cultivating it, like cultivating this emotionally intelligent friendship.
So, like, first we didn't have that foundation of, like, really high emotional intelligence within our friendship, when we first started, but we worked really hard on understanding each other's needs and
took a lot of damn time.
A lot of hard work. The first step we took to really get to know each other was implementing like the question of, what do you need from me right now? You're like, if you're sad, what can I do for you right now? Do you want a shoulder to lean on? Do you want me to just hear you out? Do you want me to give you advice? And that is so important because you don't always know what the other person wants or needs in that moment. And it could be that your friend wanted advice the last time, but doesn't want advice this time.
I always were like, all right, so here's what you're going to do. And you're like, I wish you just listened.
Sometimes it's just like, I just want to talk it out and talk about something else right after. You know, yeah. And that really worked for us.
Yeah, it did.
And understanding each other.
Yeah, my sister taught me that question game, I'll call it. With her and her best friend, they would ask, because I know Atita really likes advice, and her best friend really likes when Atita just listens. Atita's my sister. And they figured out like exactly what you just said. They figured out how to balance it, and now it's implemented with me and my mom's relationship. Like it extends to not just friends, obviously, to relationships and to parental relationships and whatever, all of them. So I think it's a really important point and really important, and you guys should try it out in your friendships. It's really great. I recommend.
Really great.
And I think another thing that will take your relationship and your emotional intelligence super fucking far is actively practicing empathy. I think it's about putting yourselves in your friend's shoes, in any person's shoes. That's like the biggest lesson I've learned in my life, and it seems so small, but it's so big. It's like really flipping, you know,
shifting perspective.
It's about like feeling for them, but also finding that balance where you don't let their emotions become your own.
Yeah.
You got to find that balance. Obviously, everything takes balance, but still feeling for them and understanding why they're so sad about something that might not make you sad in that way, or that you might just brush off if it happened in your own life.
Yeah.
But being like, well, I actually understand why she's so upset about that.
I think with that, being able to put yourself in other people's shoes, shifting perspective, I think that something that's really overlooked nowadays in friendships are like checking in regularly. Not regularly, I mean like every day, every hour. You know what I mean? So example, you express to your friend that you're depressed, and one day, 3 days later, like you live in the same, you know, the community, whatever, your friends, you see each other often. So one day they express they're depressed, 3 days later, they've almost, like the friend almost forgot about it. Not the depressed one, the person that was told. And like, not in an attention whore kind of way, but like in a way that, hey, I'm still hanging by a thread. Like I seem fine, but I'm not, you know? So like again, not in an attention seeking way, but one day I'll talk about to my friend and really like really open up and say how low, well, I've been at a low, let's say. And honestly, like a few days later, I don't get like how have you been since then? Like I've been thinking about it. And these are obviously more so in my high school relationships with my friends because, you know, obviously I've been doing a lot of work with myself and
being the effort you're putting into. Yeah.
Something that really ties into that is kind of this thing that we also implemented in our friendships that I think most people do subconsciously, but it's kind of like.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't think that?
I wouldn't think that, but say it.
It's kind of like the 80-20 rule. So it's like together we create 100%. Sometimes both of us are giving each other 50%.
I love this. But I love this rule.
Sometimes you can only give me your 20%. And when you can only give me your 20%, I will be putting in the 80% for us. And vice versa.
I love that.
Me too. Together we reach 100.
But I do think it's 100-100. And sometimes
you have to both. Yeah, 100-100 in within that.
Yeah, within,
you know?
That.
Yeah.
I heard actually about a couple once, like a married couple, that they offered that piece of advice and saying like when they would get home from work or like when one of them would get home, they would say what percentage they were at in that moment, and then that way the other would know what to give. Meaning like if the husband got home from work and he was at a real low, like he was like, I'm at like a 10.
Yeah.
Then like the his wife would be like, okay, all right, I'm at 90 now. Like, let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah, let's
give
do
you
this.
What you need
That's
right
really
now.
That's really beautiful. And, That's like, so beautiful.
And like, as long as you can express that level with each other, you know, and have that level of communication, you can't really put your feelings onto the other, you know? You can't misveer that energy.
Yeah. It's like when someone's like thinking that they're so sad or they're hurt by a comment or something and they just don't say anything.
Yeah.
And then that person's and that
and you
then,
think it's you.
Then you
and
think
then
it's you.
Like, what I do.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I don't know. What I can't,
I
can't
and
read
then
your
you're
mind.
You're digging a deeper hole.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like, no, it doesn't have to be that way.
It goes
you know?
So deep. Those become so toxic.
Yeah.
Really, really toxic.
Just make sure you guys are checking in on your loved ones.
I think also take a moment and reflect on your friendships. Really just reflect. And think how you guys can apply emotional intelligence and how you can make your friendship stronger.
100%.
100,000%.
We're going to end with an egg fact.
You excited?
Ecstatic.
Excellent.
Oh, shit.
Chickens lay lighter colored eggs as they age.
Did you For all you that? 30-year-olds out there.
You laughed. It's not funny.
That was mainly for my sister.
I'm kidding. Thank you for tuning in to Sunny Side Up. Have an excellent day.
Cheers. Bye.
Sunny Side Up. Where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly LaChapelle.